welcome all to the first and long-awaited post-pandemic close assault. Our format's going to change a little bit on this one here. We're going to pretty much primarily focus on one concept, event, idea, theme, and we're just going to roll with our thoughts on that. A lot of this stuff might come from community posts or concepts, rules, or just other things that we happen to come up with. These will usually be 15 to 20 minutes. We don't want to make it any longer because they're going to be a single topic or theme. Theme we're going to use this week, we're going to be touching on the hotly read about and discussed scenario packs entering possible PD format for distribution to players around the world. As with the rising shipping costs, PDF format seems to be like a very versatile medium in order to get your product out there. So my partner in crime, Pete, you know, me being in the United States, I don't really have much of a problem in shipping costs per se, because I usually go through Ritter Creek for all my stuff. But Pete, being in New Zealand, has another issue. So Pete's going to discuss his issues that he has and why he may or may not support the PDF format.
Oh, thanks. Thanks, Stu. So for me, I would like to see the option of PDF format scenario packs, particularly with when they're currently, some publishers are only making them available in paper. With the current, until very recently, there was an 18-month period where US Postal Service wouldn't even deliver to Australia and New Zealand or and other parts of the world. So the only option we had was UPS or DHL and international freight companies like that. Generally, it's about $50 per shipment up to a certain weight, no matter how light or small the shipment is, unless you're Amazon. That's different. But even then, Amazon shipping's actually got quite expensive as well. So unless I'm buying a lot of ASL stuff, there's actually no reason for me to spend $25 for a scenario pack. So we're looking, and of course, because of the cost, I was looking at $50 approximately minimum cost for all kinds, for any kind of shipping from the US. You cannot tell me that a scenario pack of 30 or even three scenario packs from a publisher is worth $50 in shipping.
Yeah, that's a bit much. That's a bit much. Yeah. And so I mean, essentially it's another pack.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's two packs. It's the price of two packs, because a pack, especially now with the, and that was the other thing, the cost of, physical cost of production has gone up because there was a paper shortage. So yeah, so paying $25 to $30 US for a scenario pack, okay, that's acceptable when I'm able to order as part of a much larger order. That's fine. The problem is, and I'm lucky, is over the year, because I've been in involved with ASL for so long, I've picked up stuff as it's been released,
right,
or doing a yearly order to catch up with the stuff. But that's no longer viable anymore, you know, doing one-off orders.
Especially if, like, some, I mean, you might be able to have done that in the past where you have a group of players that are in your region or area or places, you know, you visit every once in a while. But, you know, that seems to be, for some players, a big problem. And so you won't be able to get three or four other guys to tack onto that order to make it cost effective.
I mean, especially now, where it's not always, you know, depending on where you are and what the status is around you, meeting up with people may not be an option.
Yeah. You know,
for obvious reasons.
Yeah.
So I'm very much in favor of scenario publishers adding the option to publish in PDF format. I understand there are old traditional arguments against this because of piracy and things like that. Look, most of the people who would be pirating an ASL wouldn't have the technical knowledge to remove a watermark.
Right.
And so you know, it would be really, really obvious.
And the piracy right. involved, I mean, you're not talking like, okay, someone's going to, you know, you got 30 million music listeners and, you know, 5 million of them are going to download and pirate your music. And so therefore you could put like a dollar amount per song that's downloaded. It's like $5 million in ASL. Obviously, you know, I don't think anybody's doing this for the money for the most part. No. And if they are, then, I mean, obviously you have a very select clientele. So even if you had the same percentage of piracy, I mean, if you're selling 400 or 500 units, I'm not sure how many of these guys sell, and you have 5% piracy, I mean, come on, let's be real. I mean, scenario packs, people are going to print them, resell them anyway, keep them in their stores. We know that exists. Yeah, I mean, you can't tell me it doesn't exist.
But the other thing is that once people find out that person gets known about, and you tend to find they get outed.
Yeah, we're not like 16-year-olds, right, or 20-year-olds that are pirating the music. Most of us are either retired, approaching retirement, or have decent jobs. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And so we have decent jobs that could afford the hobby. So even if some players were to get like a quote bootleg copy, you know, someone like me, I mean, I don't even play face to face, and I've got all the second edition stuff. So it's not like I'm not going to support it. Now, I might be, you know, the rare egg, but I don't think that's the case. I think most ASL players are mature enough and not cheap enough and understand the amount of work that goes behind in putting some of these stuff together. And they just want to reward the players and support the hobby, you know, regardless who makes the stuff.
Well, the other thing is, That piracy argument is very much from the days of Napster. It's a holdover from the days of Napster. If you just have to look at War Games now, MMP seems to have it sorted with putting PDFs on, you know, War Games now.
Yeah. Which is great, by the way.
It's a fabulous. And you know what it's done? It's made really important stuff accessible.
Right. And affordable. Very affordable.
And it's actually opened one aspect of ASL that was very much a gatekeeping exercise.
Yeah. One thing I noticed is the journals, right? I mean,
yes.
Journals were like 30, 40, 50, 60 bucks. I've seen them. I've sold some for about that price. And now...
Don't even talk to me about paying for the secondhand for a secondhand market for Journal 2 before the reprint.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. You know, I didn't have Journal. I still don't have Journal 6, but I've got it electronically now, so I could read. You know, Primsoll Bridge, and I bought like the map, also the map they have on there, which again PDF form. Take it to you know your local printer. Print that map out and make it any size you want. Hell, you can make it, you know, Vasil or your historical size if they're not already in that format.
Yeah. Now the other thing is, I think publishers have to actually make a decision: is the added value and the added cost of adding a map and a small sheet of counters really necessary or worthwhile to the consumer?
Right.
Because to be honest, with the amount of, unless it's a historical style map sheet, not a GM, I don't think, I actually think it's actually a waste of resources, art resources, for third-party manufacturers in particular, to be offering geomorphic map boards. because they're not going to get used in an official product.
Right. I mean, think of like the winter offensive packs, right? I mean, they have some beautiful maps, but 3 or 4 scenarios.
Well, they get used, but they're published by MMP. I'm talking about things like LFT's 2 maps. Now, interestingly enough, now that the Best of Friends 2 has the original Friendly Fire map in it.
Oh, right.
That's a map board I actually think fills a really nice gap in the existing map sets, especially when it was first published. But that's now an official map.
Yeah, that was big. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that to me says that's the way to go. Leave the map board publishing for scenario packs, you know, like action packs and winter offensive packs to right. MMP.
Right. And one thing on the new maps, I got to be honest with you. And this occurs in one of the old scenarios. I would love to see, especially since the usage of Vazal has increased probably 400% since the beginning of the pandemic. Let's start seeing some more scenarios with overlays put on them or some, you know, terrain modifications. The one scenario that pops to mind to me is the hunters from the sky or something like the hunters in the sky or something like
okay,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
And board 2 without the hills on it, to me, looks like a very fantastic, lightly wooded, very maneuverable. You're not running out in the open, 5 open hexes for the most part. It's a very maneuverable, very useful board. It's the same board we have, just reduce it all down to nothing. They do it all the time with board 24. No valley. Everyone hates the valley. Pop the valley up, you know?
I would actually love to see printed versions of that, you know, official versions of that without the hills.
That would be pretty cool.
A normal version of board 24 without the valley.
Right. A very, very much similar to like board 10Z, right? Board 17Z or whatever like that.
Yeah.
Do the same thing.
Board 2Z, board 24Z.
Right. Just
they've got a precedent now. They could do it as part of a winter offensive pack.
Yeah, that would be fantastic. And they wouldn't have
That's the way to do the experimental map variants.
Right.
But then again, I'm now moving into telling MMP how to do their business.
Yeah, exactly. That's
exactly what I want to do.
Exactly.
But from a consumer point, I want to see those maps. Now, yes, I can do that in Vazal, but I'm still dealing with JPEG.
Exactly.
Or a GIF.
Something may not translate straight over. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it doesn't always work, especially if you like your boards at 130% size, because my eyesight's going for ease of use. So I don't have to use tweezers.
Right.
But
yeah, even though I can get the shippings, you know, the stuff from in the US, my shipping costs are like nil because I'll order from Ritterkrieg. I'll buy from Derek and then nothing on my end. I get the stuff that I want. But still, you know, with the adage of the electronic rule book, and especially the annual and journal, and now I picked up the
I don't think there's any justification for keeping it just a paper printed. I think
and the Out of the Attic I just picked up last week and re-watching them, because I've got giant monitors, when I'm doing my stuff or you're playing Vazal or watching a video or doing whatever, to be able to just pop that stuff up instead of having to go out and go, you know, get your binder or whatever like that. Peruse. I mean, I literally peruse through all 10 of my journals half the time. About every other week, I'll just skim through there and read some of the articles. It's so much more convenient. And your scenarios, in my opinion, might get played a lot more often if people start putting them in PDF formats instead of the old paper ones.
It doesn't have to be published in a PDF format immediately.
Right.
You know.
Or hell.
Yeah, because the rule book certainly wasn't.
Right. Or one the other thing you could do, Pete, like you said, is have the, I call up Pasmo and say, hey, I want to buy your 3 packs. And then and they essentially sell me the packs and the PDF formats to go along with those. And I say, hey, hold on to the packs. Just send me the PDFs. That way you don't have to pay for the shipping. And then, you know, at that point, you know, you technically own the paper ones. But, you know, if you're in Australia, you know, $50 for insights with the PDFs. And that way, you know, you can do whatever with that. Yeah, it's kind of silly. I mean,
I'm not saying, look, I have no problem paying the same retail price for PDFs of scenarios.
Right.
I do sort of object to paying for Kindle, the same price for Kindle books as I do for a physical book, just because there's no deliver, you know, there's no cost. The cost is far reduced.
Right.
Or the publisher at that point.
Right.
But one last thing I do want to say is that it's very much about moving forward. And if we stay in this 1999, 2000 mentality where electronic versions are bad or are tantamount to piracy, encouraging piracy. No, they're not. The fact is, most of ASL these days is played online. And we've got a lot older average ASL player age.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I actually use a different pair of glasses to read off the computer than I do to read.
I do as well.
Because my focal length is so completely different.
Yep.
So I don't want to have to look at a screen and then to look at this at the physical copy and have to switch glasses.
Right.
That way
right.
lies madness.
Yeah.
I mean, I have to deal with three pairs of glasses a lid. Now that's me, but a lot of people have reading glasses. A lot of people wear a specific set of glasses because the focal lengths are completely different.
Right. I agree with you. And if we are going to have newer players come in and follow behind us in our footsteps, that's what they'll be expecting. They're not going to be expecting anything in paper. Everything's going to be on accessible electronically. Everything.
We were talking about paperless offices, you know, 20 years ago.
Right.
We were talking about the death of published books, of printed books. That hasn't happened. If anything, there's actually more printed stuff out now.
Right.
Because it's cheap. It has become easier to desktop publish.
The funny thing is noticing in another media there, this will be my last kind of comment, is that YouTube, in terms of music charting, right, like popular charts, a song essentially that was included in Stranger Things has now topped the UK charts after like 35 years and so they're using those electronic formats to equate them to quote sales, because they're making advertising, YouTube's making advertising dollars off the sales. So
and all power to Kate Bush for making some money in closer to her retirement years.
Exactly. And the main thing is because she has her own studio and she recorded under her own title. So although she would be making other money, she's getting a very large chunk of the revenue. So you said, good for her in taking those steps and being independent. And I think that's very important. But yeah, again, the same sort of idea applies, but in a different venue. Wargaming, electronic. I mean, here is a great format, and Vazel's not going anywhere. That's all I'm saying.
And the community is pretty honorable to begin with. So anyone that does get a reputation they'll get known about. It won't be like published.
They'll be playing a lot more solo games.
Yeah.
They'll be playing a lot more solo games.
Yeah, and people will not help them out, you know, because you know how that's the other thing. This final comment: how do people normally play face to face? Someone has a scenario card, right?
Yep.
Usually, quite often, if one person's bought a scenario pack and the other person hasn't, that doesn't prevent that other person from playing that game with them, right?
Right.
Hell. You don't need to use two copies of ASL to play a single scenario. right? Oh, I can only use my Germans when I'm playing the Germans.
Right.
I mean, there are people like that, but they don't tend to last long. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. As long as someone has a has paid for a legitimate thing, but it comes down to personal ethics and morality. And I'm gonna tell people here, for a very good viewpoint on this whole PDF versus paper and the pros and cons, go to Jim Bishop's blog and read his article about it. It's a very good point. It's a very specific case, but he makes some very good points, better than I could, but along the same lines. And it just, I agree with him in a lot of the ethical and this reasons why, but I also totally agree with him in the fact that PDF for a lot of people is the way forward.
All right, Pete. Well, thanks a lot for having another great Close Assault. Glad to be back. Glad to be chatting. And we'll see you next time.
Ciao.